and challenged the president. And it was a big deal. And Zola was countercharged with libel, and he was convicted, and he needed to leave France. And after a while, it turned out that people couldn't deny the truth. And Dreyfus was restored to his position, and the French government had to deal with the fallout from all this. Now, you may be wondering, why am I telling you this story from 19th century French history? Well, the first is, and frankly, this is kind of cheap on my part, I was just able to imagine Nathan confronting David and saying, "J'accuse," although of course he wouldn't have said it in French, he would have said it in ancient Hebrew. But you can imagine that scene. It would have been tense, and it would have been crackling, like there would have been lightning. And that is what Nathan did to King David. The other reason is that this was a good example of when we do wrong things and the reputation, the memory of it, lives on long after we have passed from the scene. This is an incident which the French had wanted to put behind them, and they wanted to make amends, but it didn't go away. And people still remember that the French government had set up an innocent man, and that anti-Semitism had been at work and had been the driving force. So it would be great if we could just say that all of our sins are going to come back to haunt us, and everybody's going to know we've done something wrong. Although maybe we'd say it would be better if that didn't happen. But we know that in life, sometimes things come out, and sometimes they don't. And this is a cautionary tale, not just for a king like David, but for any of us who might be in any kind of position of responsibility. It doesn't matter whether you're mayor, whether you're on the city council, whether you're on a town board, whether you're on a committee at the church. When you are placed into a position of responsibility, that is not a signal that it's time for you to run wild and do everything you want. We have taken a responsibility, and in some ways an oath before God, that we will uphold our jobs and do them properly. Now, I cannot imagine that anybody here would do anything like David did. None of you would set up someone else to die so you could then go out with their spouse. That would just be beyond belief or comprehension. But we can begin to identify with our jobs and our positions and begin to think that we are, well, more important than we are. I remember in my previous job when I worked at Harvard Law School, we were putting together an alumni congress, and it was an event for our graduates to come over I think this one was to Italy, and our dean for development and our director for development went over to Europe beforehand to scout out some different locations. And then when they came back, they decided to gather the entire staff. You know, whether we were fundraisers or support staff, didn't matter what we do, into a big lecture room at the school, and they put on a slideshow. And frankly, I remember it was like watching Bill and Ted's Great Adventure. I didn't care that Scott and Bob had gone off and seen all these neat places. I just needed to know that they were off doing their jobs. And I called Bob out on this afterwards, and it hadn't occurred to him that maybe the people watching this would have felt like they didn't matter. But it's really important to not think that our jobs are so important or our positions are so important that we can ignore the feelings of others. And I know that we've watched things go on in politics in recent years, and many of us have been aghast at what has been done by some of our leaders, but that's what they're going to be known for. Not the PR stuff that they want to tell about themselves, but they will be remembered for all of the crummy stuff they did and the violation of trust. Now, one of the reasons I like this story isn't just because it is a great piece of storytelling, and where David essentially indicts himself, and then he's told, "You're the man who did this bad thing." But it also speaks to me about the veracity of Scripture. We know that the Bible is not written as some hagiography that tells us that all of our forefathers and foremothers were great people who did the right thing all of the time. But we are reminded that they are fallen. And it's really incredible that the ancient Israelites wanted to preserve these stories, and that they thought that there was something that they could learn from them, and there was something that they would know about their God. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with us in the future, but I do know that we need to be mindful that our actions can be seen and will be talked about by others. And if we remember the story of David, we will remember that what was told in this prophecy by Nathan all came true. The household of David was indeed a blessed house, and David had been given control of the kingdom and a lot of wealth and power and a lot of wives. But his sons were rebellious, and they had learned from their father that you need to struggle and you need to seize power, and if you need to do something bad to someone else, it's okay. And yet it's from this house that the Christian church teaches us that Jesus is ascended, and that there's one little bit of good news for us, that we can remember that God will work with us just as we are. And that doesn't mean that we should say, okay, great, I can do lots of lousy things. But we should remember that we are not beyond redemption, and that God is able to make use of each and every one of us and our skills and our talents, and that we should be grateful to God that we are here to do his work. So I invite you to reread this story and to think about it, and to remember that none of us is beyond redemption, that God can work with each of us, and that we can always try to do better. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for the people who preserved these stories and handed them down through the generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.